Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. Only one short scripture this morning. This is Supernatural Garments number 9, the Believer's Garment of Praise. The Believer's Garment of Praise. Go with me to the Lord in prayer. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, say that with me, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, for the spirit of heaviness. Now this word today will be a word of challenge. For some of you, it's charisma 101, been there, learned it a long time ago. For some of you, it's an awkward subject and something that may truly be calling you to something that is not natural for you at all. But I ask you to listen, because when I first heard this many years ago, and I'll come back to this in a moment, I did not understand much about praise. And I just, because I believed in the Word of God, if you showed it to me in the Word of God, then I could begin to change my behavior. I could begin to change my practice. Otherwise, I thought it was, well, this group does this and this group does that, and it's just their preference. But when you see what God desires, then you desire to begin to line up with His will. Amen? There's a common malady today in the church and out of the church, and that is the spirit of heaviness. There is a spirit of heaviness over many, many people today. And some of you would say this morning, amen. Amen, because you're experiencing it right now. So first question, I always have several questions. First question is not to be answered out loud, but are you wearing a garment of heaviness? Are you wearing a spirit of heaviness? Is there this blanket over you that you're just weary? Or you're just sad, or you're just filled with sorrow over something, or maybe you don't even know what it is. You're battling depression, or you have just a dullness about you that you can't explain, that you don't understand. How many of you know that as Christians, there is a stream of blessings that flow our way? I hope that as Christians, you know that. You've experienced it. If you experienced a stream of blessings in your life, raise your hand. Okay. There's a stream of blessings that flows our way. And to the person who's not a believer, they may look at you and not understand. They may think that, well, they have the same blessings as you. But there is a stream of blessings that you recognize, and I'll distinguish those in a minute, that perhaps others do not have, especially those who do not have the Lord. There is a flow of grace itself, daily grace that comes to you, that you might walk in the presence of the Lord, that you have access to God through the free grace that He gives through Jesus Christ, amen, that you can approach Him, and that there is no judgment over your head, there is no condemnation, and there is no wrath hanging over you. And that's a great blessing in itself, as we recognize that as a believer. The worldly person, let's begin to separate this a little bit. The worldly person cares nothing for spiritual blessings. There are natural, what I would call natural things that anyone would say most likely is a blessing in their life. But the believer begins to recognize spiritual blessings. Some of those spiritual blessings can't even be seen by other people, right? They are interior things. They are things that God is doing in your life that cannot be put on a piece of paper, can't be photographed, can't be pinned on the wall for someone else to look at. And even the natural things that seem to flow your way. For instance, when you don't have the money for your rent and you're on your knees, you're on your face praying and seeking God, and that money comes. You didn't know how it would be there, but it was there and you were able to pay your rent. Where that may look like a natural thing, something that's in the earth realm, it becomes a spiritual blessing to you because it was obtained spiritually, right? Spiritual blessings of grace, forgiveness, peace that passes all understanding, things that come from God alone, as well as the flow of things in the earth realm that seem to be provided for you because you're a Christian, because God cares for His own children. And so there is a stream of blessings that flows our way as believers. And the unbeliever or the worldly person, even if they say they're a believer, constantly finds joy in and gives praise for, not to God, you'll understand this in a moment, finds joy in and praises for things which perish with the using. So a crowd gathers at a football game, nothing wrong with this, gathers at a football game with great shouts and cheers of adoration for the people who are performing on the field. But the worldly person cares little for the blessings that come from God or that they recognize are from God. So the worldly person does praise. I want you to understand that. They praise many things. It's whatever they talk about and they are adoring and they are excited about all the time that consumes their life, whether it's the new car or the new boat or whether it's the house or whether it is entertainment that they go to or whatever it may be. They're constantly praising in the earth realm things that are going to perish, things that are going to pass away. That will, as Pastor Maggie so famously says, that will burn in the end. So there are things that will be gone, and yet that's what they adore. That's what they praise. That's what they give their words of adoration to. But the spiritual person, the believer cares. Let me begin to show you, because this may be a test for you this morning, not to question any of your salvation. But whether you are in a right place with God or not, whether you experience the Lord truly or not, because the true believer cares for and desires spiritual blessings, has some care for, some desire for the things of God. Now you see plenty of Christians who seem to not fall into that category. They're like the unbeliever who care more about all of the things of the world than they ever do the blessings of God, the spiritual blessings of God. But a true believer begins to have a desire for, a pursuit after the things of God, spiritual blessings, and they talk highly of those things. There is in some way a praise for God that is upon their lips. And so I ask you this morning, do you care for spiritual things? Can you identify in the past week that you cared for spiritual things? You desired, you hungered after spiritual things. And so there's this stream of blessings, and for the believer, beginning with mercy. How many of you recognize each day that you're walking in the mercy of God and you're grateful for it?
Yes.
You know, the Word says, and we quote it, His mercies are new every morning. And so how many of you think to give God thanks for that or to be aware of it? And so I'm bringing you to another question, because as we recognize that flow of blessings in our life, those blessings for the believer who is growing in the Lord, who's sold out for the Lord, those blessings begin to draw something from us, and that is praise. Praise. And so the next question I have for you this morning is, do you praise God? That sounds like a really silly question. You're sitting here in church and you just sang some songs. I'm asking you, let me rephrase it slightly now. Aside from your time of corporate praise and worship on Sunday morning, do you praise God? I would venture to say there are probably plenty in this room who don't praise God during the week, who don't have a praise life with the Lord. Let me just give you an example. You say, I can't. What do you mean? You think that in front of my family, I just stand there, lift up my hands and begin to praise God? Well, you could, but I'm not asking you that. Think for this about this for a moment. When you're driving the car and you're alone, do you ever turn the radio off or whatever is playing and take time to say, God, I praise you for what you're doing? Just simple, nothing fanatical. I praise you, Lord, for the opportunities you're giving me today. I praise you, Lord, that you saved me. I remember the pit that you dug me out of. I praise you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus that washes my sins away. I praise you for the wife, for the husband that you've given me. I praise you for my children. I praise you for all of the incredible things you're doing in the world today on the mission field and in different places. I give you glory. I want to give you glory today, Lord, instead of being so self-centered. I want to give you glory today and lift up your name in my heart today and literally speak it out loud. Yes. Another example that is slightly related is when you discuss your life with other people or family or wherever it may be, when you talk about your life and the things that are happening in your life, who gets glory? Does the glory ever go to God? Is it ever a testimony that this is what God's doing in my family? Or this is what God's doing in my life? Or this is the job God provided for me? This is the answer to the prayer that I made to the Lord. A testimony that gives praise to God. Now we've heard this in a previous message as we were talking about a different garment. But 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you, speaking of you and all believers, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Wow. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, if you just think you've kind of slid into church and into the Christian life and you never really understand or recognize the truth of the Word of God, that you belonged to the kingdom of darkness, and if you've truly come in faith to Christ, then he snatched you out of darkness and plugged you into a kingdom of light, then you're not going to praise him. But if you truly understand the darkness from which you were taken and the destiny that awaited you, being separated from God, the sin that brought the weight of guilt upon you and would have brought judgment and wrath upon you and eternal separation from God, if you understand some idea of where you were headed and what God has done in your life, that you might be in a place where you would receive the Word of God and you would receive the Son of God and come to salvation, then you have something to praise him for. And he says that you are his special people, called out in the earth to declare praises for what he has done. Your salvation, your acceptance of Christ. Listen to me, friends. Your acceptance of Christ was more than a business transaction. Yes, it was a transaction of faith. It was legal. That you came, you had to come the legal way, and that was in faith and surrender to the Lord in order to be legally, by God, forgiven of your sins and come into a place of wearing a robe of righteousness given to you by Christ, All of that is a legal transaction, but it is more than just a legal transaction. It's not just because you walked down the aisle or you sat with someone 20 years ago and prayed a prayer. There had to be an interior work taking place in your heart and in your life. On the other hand, the other extreme, neither was your coming to Christ just an emotional experience. You went to some revival service and the music was awesome and you had goosebumps all over you and you just knew the presence of God was there and so you were saved. No, if you didn't come in faith and repentance of sin, it's not salvation. It's not just an emotional experience. But beloved, when you came to Christ, there's a deep, eternal work that begins in your heart and in your life. To be saved, listen to me closely, to be saved is to be forever captured and captivated by God. Amen. Your life's not the same anymore. If you're no different than you were before you supposedly became a Christian, then I would ask you to examine yourself as the Word of God says, whether you were in the faith. You are forever captured and captivated. You're captured by God and you are captivated with Him. Amen. You have some longing to please Him, to obey Him, to grow in Him, to be with Him, to desire Him. And so your salvation is a beginning of being a lover of God, a lover of God. It is a process that brings transformation in your life. Your heart has been softened. You have been touched by the Lord and warmed by the Lord. The Christian life is like the wedding feast at Cana where Jesus went and he turned the water into wine. It begins beautiful enough. When you're born again, it begins like water. But as you grow in the Lord, there's to be a deepening. There's to be a change. And you're to be able to look back over the years and say, I see where God worked this in me and He touched me. He worked this in me and that in me. And He began to use me and pour out of me. And what came out is different than what was there 5 years ago. The water changes to wine. Wine is a symbol of joy and of the inward work of the Spirit of God in the Word of God. And so the water becomes wine and it changes. There's an interior work that the Lord does in your life. Sometimes it's like a different imagery. Sometimes it's like the olive press in Gethsemane. It's where He takes the olives and they're put in the olive press and they are crushed in order that that oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, is released. It takes crushing to release the oil of God. And sometimes, in order to produce wine in your life, in order to produce oil, the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life, there are seasons of crushing. There are seasons where it seems like you can't even see the blessings of God. Yet all the time, you know that you are being held by God. You know that He is present. You know that He has not forsaken you. Yes. You know that His hand is upon your life and that all of your suffering means something. And you're saying, God, what do you want to teach me in this? What are you doing in my life? And even at times when you feel stagnant, how many of you can say, I have felt stagnant in my Christian walk? Yes. Even at times when you feel stagnant, you're still not the person you were. Even when you feel stagnant, you know, and it doesn't change the reality that you were still on the potter's wheel. He's still doing something. He's still forming you. He's still fashioning something in your life. Praise is the outflow of a heart of gratitude in all of these things. Praise is what happens in a heart that is thankful, that doesn't take God for granted. A heart that is filled with gratitude. Praise is a fountain that bubbles up in a spirit-filled life. Praise in times of trouble and trial and sorrow is a sign that you are growing and maturing in the Lord. The word says that there is a spirit of heaviness, and that he will take that heaviness from you. And out of you will come praise. So many people today have only heaviness, sorrow, worry, and sadness. And it's like there's a blanket over them. Some of you are listening very, very closely because you're hoping that there's some little bit of help for you today. Heaviness of spirit robs you of productivity. How many of you have ever known that when you have a heavy, heavy spirit, you can't seem to get anything worthwhile done? Heaviness of spirit robs you of relationships. You don't have what it takes to invest in a relationship when your spirit is so heavy that that's all that's on your mind. Heaviness of spirit robs you of peace. Heaviness of spirit robs you of sleep, or else causes you to sleep all the time. Heaviness of spirit robs you of your faith and brings in doubt and despair and hopelessness. Heaviness of spirit causes you to view all things as hopeless. You cannot see your circumstances correctly. Other people can look at your circumstances and they can just say, well, why don't you do this or that? Or here, let me pray with you. Let me help you. And they have a positive outlook because they don't have that heaviness upon them. But when you have that spirit of heaviness upon you, everything about your circumstances is magnified many times over. What causes this heaviness of spirit? Well, an unbeliever certainly has a heaviness of spirit. Sometimes they hide it many, many ways. And then the believer who is walking in has a wall up with God. There is question as to whether that's a believer or not. But there are believers in the Word of God, just as there are in the church, who have been born again and then find themselves in a time of struggling and wandering like the prodigal son. But sin is the first cause of a spirit of heaviness. It happens to the lost person and it happens to the backslidden Christian. And I'm just going to only briefly mention that this morning, because what I'm mainly talking about today is for the believer who's not in rebellion. Maybe you've served God with all of your heart. Or maybe you got saved and you're not out actually backslidden in the sense that we would normally use that, but you haven't gone anywhere with God. And there's nothing in your heart. This whole thing of praise, when I first mentioned the word praise, this message is about praise. For some of you, that's like, oh, this is kind of an optional. This is like elective class. You know, some people do that. Some people shout. Other people don't. And that's what praise to you is about. But if your heaviness is because of sin, too often people in the church come along and want to tell you, it's not that bad, don't let it get you down, when really you should feel the weight of the heaviness of your sin. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, to think, listen to this, to think that I, a creature that God has made, which he could crush as easily as a moth, have dared to live in enmity towards him for many years, and have even become so hardened as to forget him and perhaps defy him. This is terrifying. If we are in outright rebellion and sin against God, we should be terrified. But hopefully see the grace that's offered at the cross of Christ, and let today be the day that changes all of that. But sin produces a heavy load, a heavy, heavy spirit of guilt and condemnation. But the second thing is heaviness, talking about heaviness in the believer. There is heaviness in the believer due to the attacks that come from Satan. Some of you perhaps have walked through so many attacks from the devil. There's daily blows things that come our way. And it becomes, if we give into that, if we don't know how to run to Him, and we begin to let that wear on us, it becomes a heavy blanket. And it can become actually a demonic thing, a stronghold of the enemy in your life. There is heaviness in the believer that comes due to anxiety, fear, and depression over many, many things, and sometimes unknown things. There's heaviness in the believer due to weariness in serving. If you serve God so long and hard, but you do not take time to have your soul refreshed before the Lord, then you will come into a place of weariness in serving the Lord. There's heaviness in the believer due to failure. Failure to walk in faith. When you have your eyes on your circumstances and not upon the Lord. There is heaviness in the Christian life due to grief of various kinds. But there is a remedy. That's what we're looking at in the Word of God today. Put on the Spirit, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let's get this principle in perspective then. Number one. Real praise arises out of belief in the goodness and greatness of God. Amen. Now, I believe that all of you probably here would say amen to that. That you believe in the goodness and the greatness of God.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Right? I want to hear you.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know, that's a kind of praise too. You're not praising me, but when you amen, you're saying, amen, Lord, I stand in agreement with that. You are a good God, and you are a great God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That is praise to God. Real praise arises out of this belief in the core of your being, in the goodness and the greatness of God. When you begin to contemplate His blessings, His mercy, His grace, the blood of Christ, anything that you find as a spiritual blessing in the Word of God. And you begin to give thanks and to declare His greatness. Your focus shifts from yourself and from your problem and from your circumstances to Him. Your focus begins to shift when you begin to praise God. In the light of true praise, your problem diminishes. Now, you may be saying, oh, you don't know my problems. Yes, I do. I know true praise also. I know what it's like to truly praise God. And if you truly praise the Lord, you begin to see your problems as smaller, and you begin to see God as greater. That's why the psalmist David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Some of you have said that, read it, and don't have a clue what it means. Magnify the Lord. Magnify His name. It means that let's put our eyes upon Him and see it as greater and greater and greater. Because praising Him is like putting Him under a magnifying glass. We see everything about God greater and larger than we ever did before. We praise Him and He is magnified and our problems are minimized. Praise Him. Secondly, real praise is an action. I know you've heard this here before, but I will repeat it. Praise in the Bible is demonstrative. That means it demonstrates in some way. It is not silent. It is not thought. You cannot think and be praising. You say, well, I most certainly can. Well, not according to the Bible's definition. You can worship God in silence. You can commune with God in silence. But the word praise means that you either, and tonight I'll touch on all of these, but in the Bible there are many, many different ways, but it's always movement or verbal or audible. It means to speak or declare the praises of God. It means to shout to God. It means to lift your hands. That's praise in the Bible. It means to dance before the Lord. It means to clap hands before the Lord. It means to pluck the strings of an instrument or to shake a tambourine before the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. Praise always demonstrates in some way, and it is commanded.
Amen.
Now let me help you for a moment. Because some of you have been through this. And Pastor Maggie stands up here and says, we should give a shout to the Lord. You think you're being corralled and forced to do something that's against your nature. No. Let me tell you something this morning. Your personality may be quiet and shy. And another person's personality may be more loud and open. And no one is expecting that you are going to be, you the quiet one, are going to suddenly have a change of personality and scare everybody to death. But it means to take a step beyond where you are.
Yes.
And if someone else is shouting loudly, it could be that you simply for the first time say, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That for once you put your eyes off of yourself, because we can blame it on our personality and we can say, I'm self-conscious. And we don't realize what we just said. Self-conscious means we're more concerned with self than being God-conscious. Real praise is an action. It involves movement, sound. It is the fruit of our lips, the Bible says. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to God. It includes all of those things that I just named, including a life of testimony that declares what God has done in your life. And it includes everything that you do that draws other people's eyes to the Lord. A life that praises God. Be careful. Only one warning in this message. Be careful if you look with disdain upon people who are very, very outwardly demonstrative in their praise. Because God says that he loves it and that he is enthroned in the praises of his people. Amen. It didn't say he's enthroned in the silent adoration. There's a time for reverence and quietness. But it doesn't say he's enthroned in everybody being quiet and bowing on their knees. It says he is enthroned in the praises of his people, and praises are outward. David came back to Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant. His wife watched from an upstairs window as he stripped off his royal garments to his underwear, his tunic, and he danced like a wild man in front of the Ark of the Covenant with joy. And his wife looked down from that window, and when she got hold of him, she said, "How dare you be so indignified, stripping down and dancing in the street like a common person?" And he said, "I will be even more undignified." And because of her judgment, she was barren for the rest of her life. That's what God says about the way that we look at other people's praise. Number three, real praise diminishes. This is so important. What is our biggest problem anyway? Pride. Pride, it just is the root of all sin, and it emanates from our life. But praise diminishes our pride and our self-importance. Look at it this way. Praise is a garment. And when a man puts on a garment or a woman puts on a garment, it covers that man. Praise covers who you are, and you hide there. Follow me. Praise covers a man. It hides him as he comes before the throne of God, and all of the attention and all of the glory goes to God, and humility is upon the man. How many of you would say this morning, "I know I need some humility in my life"? Well, begin to praise God. Begin to give God glory for things instead of taking credit for it yourself. Begin to honor him and adore him and praise him and turn other people's eyes towards him. Participate in praise. And wear the garment of praise, and nobody will be looking at you seeing you. They'll see the greatness of Christ. Number four, praise silences the voice of the enemy.
Yes.
And oh, how you need that.
Yes.
When the enemy tells you you're no good, when the enemy tells you you can't be forgiven, when the enemy tells you you've gone too far, when the enemy tells you that no one loves you, when the enemy tells you you're about to fail and it's going to be the ruination of your life, when the enemy tells you that everyone hates you, or when the enemy lies to you and says all this stuff's just a game, just do what you want to do, or whatever the battle in your mind may be, when the enemy comes to you, if you as a believer begin to praise God and give Him glory, the voice of the enemy goes silent.
That's right.
It doesn't mean he will give up easily, but if you want to defeat him, you make praise a part of your life. You praise God and you silence the voice of the enemy. Number five, we praise Him because of this one thing. Because He is worthy. We can praise Him for 1,000 things. But we praise Him simply because He's worth it. He is worthy. The book of Revelation shows us the elders bowing before the Lamb of God, bowing before Jesus. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive blessing and glory and honor." Could you have saved yourself?
No.
No. Some of you could. Could you have saved yourself?
No.
No. I'm going to raise the level of cooperation in this place. You don't want me calling you dead people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb because of the cross. If you just think about the cross and what He's done for you, then the only response is to praise Him. Worthy is the one who came forth out of the grave, that you might live. You think about the resurrection and the empty tomb. There is only one response, and that is to praise the Lord. You think about the God-man seated on the throne of heaven with scars in his hands and feet because he identifies with you. And there's only one response, and that is to praise him. Let this issue of praise this morning, let this issue of praise be a measure of where you are with God. Of where you are with God. Are you a praiser? Do you praise God? Or do you only occasionally think about God? There are many reasons that a believer does not praise God. But the number one reason is pride. And the second reason is lack of gratitude. If you don't praise God, you are maybe filled with pride, and so you're self-centered, self-conscious, whatever it may be. And it's just, you think, well, it's just not me. No, it's not you. It's God. And He's worthy. And the other reason is that you've not considered and become very, very grateful for what He has done for you. Now, God not only commands praise, He commands corporate praise. He not only commands praise from you as an individual, He commands corporate praise. Amen. In the church. This is what we'll look at a little more tonight. But in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find corporate praise. And so I come back to what I was saying a few moments ago. You may have one personality and someone else may have something else. But what if next time we begin to verbally praise the Lord? And so, no one is saying, okay, we want you to be puppets and just everybody march in line. No. What is your expression of praise in that moment? Could you at least clap your hands to the Lord? You clapped at the concert last week. Or you were watching something on TV and you went, everybody in the family saw you. Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Can't you at least in church say, oh God, you are amazing. Instead of just standing there, I know, I've been there, so I'm not casting stones. I have been where some of you are. But instead of just standing there like, oh God, I'll be glad when they get through with this. Why not Stop thinking about what other people are doing and lift up praise to God. Take a step of faith. Step outside of yourself and begin to honor Him with the fruit of your lips or the clapping of your hands, or lift your hands where you've never lifted them before. He is pleased by these expressions. So what do you praise Him for? And how do you praise Him? As I mentioned in the beginning, this changed my life because I was in a denominational church that sang three hymns. They sang the first, second, and last verse of each one. And the doxology, how many of you know what the doxology is? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You sang it after the offering every Sunday. It is a good song. The problem is when you've sung it in dead tradition for so long that everybody just does it out of rote, and you don't stop to think that you're really praising God. But I had a Bible class when I had gone into ministry and I was taking courses, and I had a teacher who taught an entire course on praise. Well, my denomination believed that if it's in the Word of God, you know, it's just different people's opinions of what's really in there or not. And as he began to teach why these more charismatic people are shouting and clapping and lifting their hands and saying, hallelujah. You know, that's probably the most beautiful word in the language other than the name of Jesus. It means praise the name of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord God Almighty. And as he began to walk us through the Word of God and show how God was pleased with these different expressions of praise, then I was free. Because there it was, witnessing with my spirit in the Word of God. So what do you praise him for? I want to help you. I want to just give you something practical. Tomorrow morning when you get up, how do you begin to live a life of praise? How do you praise God? First of all, think about these daily blessings that I began with this morning. Think about all that he does for you. If you're a believer, then you must believe that he does these things for you, that you've not done it for yourself. And begin to praise him and thank him. I praise him that the sun came up today. Amen. I praise him for the wife that he has given me. I praise him for my sons and my grandchildren. I praise him for the air I breathe. I praise him that I'm still alive, that he has kept my health, and that I'm able to serve him, that I'm able to speak. I praise him for beauty. I praise him for the mountains that I see because they're formed by his hands. I praise him for the sky and the clouds. I praise him for the things around me. I praise him for his provision for my life another day. I praise him in advance. Give me this day my daily bread, which not only means my food, but the manna from heaven that I need from God. Praise him. Begin to praise him for all of his blessings that come your way. Praise him that you have a home, a shelter, where you can lay your head at night away from the elements. Praise him for the Bible that you have, or the many that you have in your house that you have because someone was burned at the stake so that you could have it in the English language.
Yes.
Praise him that he has given us his word and that it is living and it is powerful. Praise him, yes, for this church. Praise him that you have a church,
yes,
that you can go to and,
yes,
still freely worship God.
Amen.
And hear the word of God. I praise him for things I don't understand. Some people want to make arguments out of things they don't understand. I praise him for the things I don't understand. For instance, that great mystery in the Word of God, that somewhere out there today, even in within a few blocks of here, there are thousands of people, many of them may be almost just like me, except for some reason they haven't encountered the gospel in the same way that I did from a child. And they've not really known the Lord. They've not come to Him. They've not experienced Christ. They've not come to Him. They've not known Him as I have. God's Word says that no man comes to the Father except through Christ. It also says, listen at this, it says that we must choose. He says, whosoever will may come. So I see that there is a will involved in the heart of man. But He also says, Jesus said, no one comes to Me except the Father draws him. And so I look at this mystery of the sovereignty of God, and I see the man who is like me. And I acknowledge that God's hand has been upon my life, but I see that it's not been upon His in the same way. And perhaps never will be. And I don't understand. Well, I can either make an argument out of that and I can say, well, God must not be fair. Or I can trust Him with things that are beyond my understanding. That He is just and that everything He does is right. And I can praise Him for my salvation. And I can praise Him for what He's done in my life. And I can be grateful, just as you should be grateful, that His hand has been upon your life. Some of you are here because you married someone who was here. And maybe you weren't even thinking about walking with God. Some of you are here because there was some hard time in your life and you came to the Lord. Some of you are here because your parents raised you under the Word of God and it was planted within you. And at some point you began to believe it and trust in the Lord. No matter what it is, it was His sovereign hand upon you. He chose you, the Bible says. Give Him praise for that. I cannot grasp the mystery of many things, but I can thank Him for all things. For I am a brand. You remember we studied this garment? I'm a brand snatched out of the fire. I praise Him for that. I praise Him because I'm a leper. I had the leprosy of sin, but He cleansed me.
Amen.
I praise Him for I am the thief that was on the cross next to Jesus. And somehow in His mercy, He drew me and allowed me to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, receive me when You come into Your kingdom. And He said, today You will be with Me in paradise. I am blind Bartimaeus. I couldn't see or understand anything, but Jesus came by.
Amen.
Opened the eyes of my understanding that I might begin to apprehend spiritual things. I praise Him not only for these things, I praise Him for who He is. Because He's worthy. I praise Him that He is the creator and the sustainer of life. Without Him, I would not have my next breath. The Bible says that all things were created through Christ and He holds all things together by His word. I praise Him because He is the great I am who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. And these things caused me to lift my eyes and look at His greatness. And understand that Jesus was the pre-incarnate one who interacted with Israel in those Old Testament times. I praise Him when I see that He's the fourth man in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I know that that means that whatever fiery trial I'm going through, He's there with me in the furnace.
Amen.
I praise Him because He is the cloud by day and the fire by night that led Israel through the wilderness. And when I'm in the wilderness, I can trust Him to lead me. He is the manna that came down from heaven. And every time I read His word and I feed upon the things that He speaks to my heart, I praise Him that He's a God who speaks.
Amen.
You ever praise Him because He speaks?
Yes.
Bible says that He is the word that was wrapped in flesh, walked upon this earth in the God-man Jesus. I praise Him for such an incredible plan that I could never have come up with or anyone else. He's a healer.
Amen.
He is my healer.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't like to talk about myself, I will just say that if you only knew the times I stand here and preach and the sickness or the attacks of the enemy were so hard that it's like, how would I be here? And yet God just puts his hand on me and gives me a strength to come and preach and lift that sickness or whatever it is off of me. And I stand here and I'm a person that, you don't know this, but I've had the privilege of doing many young ladies' weddings and men in this church. I am so awkward. If it's not the anointing, if it's not the word of God, and a wedding is, it's a worship service. But still, this is my calling right here. And when I do a wedding, I'm so pleased to do this for them. But I'm so, yes, I'm self-conscious. I'm thinking, oh, they're looking at whatever. And and how I speak or whatever it may be. And I'm so awkward and do not like being up there in front of everybody. But when I know that God has given me something for his people, it's a different story. And I praise him. Amen. I praise him for his hand being upon my life. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. some of you just don't know. You think the devil doesn't attack me in my mind? Doesn't give me crazy thoughts? You say, oh, Pastor Mark, you just don't know what I think about. Well, we're not going to get together and compare, okay? If it weren't for the Lord, we'd all be so deceived.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
But I thank him that he's my deliverer.
Amen.
From powers of darkness.
Amen.
You know, I grew up in a denominational church. The local church loved God, but the denomination was going more and more liberal. They led the way 20, 30 years ago in ordaining homosexuals and stuff like that. And we were there, we were fighting against it. But if I had not fallen in love with the Lord and been filled with the Holy Spirit in the midst of being there and married a prophetic leaning woman who sees things in black and white, causing us to go to the Word on everything is what I'm saying. She knows this. I could have so easily, I'm so easily a compromiser. You just don't know. I'm like, we'll just kind of let this go, you know? This can slide. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I could have just listened to that stuff in the denomination and thought, oh, they're so loving. And I could have just followed, but God had his hand on me. And I praise him that he delivered me. Most of all, praise him that he saved you. Can you just do that tomorrow?
Yes. Amen.
How many of you would say today, tomorrow, sometime during the day, as I go through my day, I will, if it's verbally or with the clapping of my hands or whatever it may be, I will praise God for my salvation.
Amen.
Driving to work, you can say, God, I praise you. You snatched me out of the fire. Praise. Causes heaviness to flee.
Amen.
I have experienced it. I have been in times when depression was trying to overtake me and I had to get alone or go to walk or whatever it may be and just begin to praise God. And yes, I also took authority over the enemy and said, Satan, you have no power, no authority over me. But I praised God, and as I praised God, it began to lift. And for those who have a gift of praying in tongues, begin to praise him in your prayer language.
Yes.
And the devil absolutely will flee from you.
Yes.
But that's not to separate those who do from those who don't. You have a language of praise.
Yes.
Praise God. Just speak praise to God and glorify Him and honor Him. He became sin for me and took my place on the cross that I might be viewed by God as having the righteousness of Christ. I praise Him for this gospel, this truth of our salvation. He is worthy to receive praise. Do you think something else should be more valuable to you than Him? Do you think something else should receive all that praise and adoration in your life above Him? Is it really right that you come to church and you stand silent while others sing praises? Or while other people clap, that it bothers you? Do you really think it's right that you go through a whole day and you talk about how wonderful that movie was, but you never say, "Oh Jesus, you're wonderful"? The heart that has been touched by the Lord begins to grow and grow and grow in the love of the Lord. And there is a desire for spiritual blessings in your life. Your life that you live should bring praise and glory to God. Amen. Let's stand.